a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We've dubbed this evening the play-by-play, the night of the play-by-play. Play-by-play voice of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Yeah, and a distant uncle to Red Casher.
To Red Casher.
Yeah.
Red Casher. So Joe Casher, Cashin. Joe Cashin.
Yeah.
Super. I love the Southern accent on these guys. And here's the other thing is he doesn't it was funny because during the interview, he's like, hold on, stop. Is that you, Scott Mitchell? That's what I love. Is and you said after the off the air, you were like, it's funny because people outside of Utah think it's so cool when somebody plays in the NFL. And in Utah, not so much. And I was like, is it kind of like, let me ask you this, Scott. Is it kind of like when you, like, your family doesn't think you're cool? But,
oh, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, people think like,
have I told you about my son and taking him to a Detroit Lions game? Did I tell you about that? Have we talked about this on the air yet?
I don't know if we have, but I remember him being impressed by everybody else, but he was.
He saw highlight film of me. We went to this.
He probably had this moment of like, was that even you?
No,
you're faking
this, right?
He
looked at me and he goes, who are you?
Right.
And he goes, you're like Matthew Stafford good. And it blew him away. I mean, you look at me now. I certainly don't look like I looked then.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is that well, do you think it's because Utahns, we don't like it. We don't like it as much.
I don't know what it is, Alex. It's a weird thing. So, like my son, and my son's kind of a microcosm of the bigger effect of things. It's just a weird. I don't mind it. It's just fascinating because I'm from here, you know, I grew up in
Utah.
There
are very few people who are become NFL quarterbacks from the state of Utah. There are people who have played here. There are people who came here to play in school, but to be the homegrown NFL quarterback.
Like Steve Young is not from Utah. He grew up in Connecticut.
Great point.
Know? And Jim McMahon, you know, another one, he went to Roy High School. He's a local guy. You have Ty Detmer, who, you know, played for a long
time. From
Texas. So, So I was a local. And it was a big deal when I was in college or in high school because it kind of came down to either I was going to go to Utah or BYU. And, of course, that rivalry. And then I had – you know, a really good career at Utah, and we beat BYU for the first time in 10 years, and that was a big deal. It was a big, big deal during that time. And I left, and every city that I've lived in, either during my career or after, even after, people like, I know who you are, or you'll go into a restaurant, or you'll go into a store, you're just going about your daily life, and people go, hey, you're the NFL quarterback, Scott Mitchell. You're this. Or when I did, I had, you know, I was in other business opportunities. And what I was doing, like I was getting into really hard places to get into with, you know, it's like, you know, the hardest part of, you know, a lot of businesses is getting in the front door. And I could get in the front door of anyone. Mm. I mean, I sat – this is a really crazy thing. I was developing real estate, and there was this dairy farm, and it was beautiful. And this woman who lived by herself, she's 80 years old, and she milked cows twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a meeting in her house with her, and it's and we like her piece of property was very valuable, and she doesn't say a word the whole meeting. At the very end of the meeting, she turned and she looked at me because I didn't say, "Hey, I'm an NFL guy. I'm this and that, whatever." And she turned and she looked at me and she goes, "I watched you every Sunday. It was the only time I didn't milk cows and I stopped and I watched the NFL and I loved you and I would love for you to buy my property."
Wow.
And then she died 10 days later.
Oh no.
but it was just, you know, and it's just funny. It's, you know, so Joe Cashin, you know, having like, yeah, it's an NFL. It's people outside of Utah. I don't know what it is.
We got to start. Listen, we got to shake that off if we want to be an NFL market. Come on now. If we're going to be Raiders fans, okay, this is a good foray into this where you go, hey, we want to be an NFL market. Well, you got to start really being fans about the people that surround you. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe we're not impressed by.
And I don't have to have people recognize. It's not. I don't care about that. It's nice, quite frankly.
We just said the last 4 minutes about how you care about it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't care.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't care that people don't do it. It's just fascinating to me that they don't. Because,
right.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I mean, even places that I didn't play football, like they recognized me and knew who I was. I mean, I was in Belize once and had people recognize me in the airport in Belize.
Yeah.
Who were from Belize. They were Belizean. And and in Utah.
Belize, Arizona? Like, is that what you're talking about?
No, it's a country. Belizean.
Belizean. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like about Belize is everybody else speaks Spanish in the countries around Belize. They'll roll up and speak a lot of English to you. So there you go. Scott, let's do some of our NFL stories on top of all this.
Okay.
Adam Gase admits that he has not helped Sam Darnold grow as an NFL quarterback. Now, I don't know. I don't know what got him to that point of actually like. Is it? It sounds like a guy who's like he finally admitted to. Some sort of an intervention. Hey,
but who has Adam Gase really developed as a quarterback?
Well, nobody. I mean, they're 0-11 this year.
I mean, he was, you know where he was? He was with the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. You think he developed Peyton Manning?
Absolutely not.
No.
And so that's the thing is that you go, look, here's the deal. You're 0-11. It's not just the quarterback you haven't developed. You haven't developed anybody. And the real problem is that the New York Jets for the, I don't know how many times in my lifetime, it's double-digit seasons now. In my lifetime, that the Jets have just totally signed off and gone, well, this is a total loss for us. Let's move on. Let's figure out what we're getting in the first round. Let's get a new coach. Yeah.
Here's what's hard with a guy like Adam Gase. Okay, a lot of times through the history of the NFL, you'll have really good coordinators, and they just don't translate into really good head coaches. And for whatever reason, a lot of these owners they pick like coordinators, offense or defensive coordinators, because they clearly have had to manage multiple position groups. They're managing a whole, you know, whole side of the football. So they figure, you know, they're most logical. I mean, you wouldn't take the special teams coach and then all of a sudden just say, yeah, that's head coaching material. But some people are just better at that position. And I think Adam Gase is kind of one of these guys, and especially in a place like New York, and you're trying to change the whole culture of an organization, and you need like a super strong like personality. Like Don Shula was a presence, and people followed that presence. A guy like Bill Parcells was a presence. Bill Belichick was a presence. Mm-hmm. Joe Gibbs was these were Mount Rushmore type of people. You know, and you get a lot of these coaches and you're just like Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia. You don't feel
this. Do they sort of get pushed around by the players a little bit? Or is it just that their style doesn't work at all?
I don't think they understand. Like all I knew from Coach Shula, our whole focus here is to win a Super Bowl. And my job is I'm going to hold you accountable to it. And I don't care who you are.
Speaking of being held accountable, I wanted to bring this up and get your thoughts on it because I just love when coaches do this. And, of course, if there's a coach that's going to do this, Mike Tomlin rips into his own team. He's the head coach, of course, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin tears into the Steelers saying it was an ugly win and they didn't show up prepared for that Wednesday afternoon NFL game.
Perfect example, Alex. It's a perfect example where you have this coach who's won Super Bowls.
Yes.
And he was a coordinator. But he's the guy that gets the big picture.
People look up to that guy and they go, oh, he's the franchise, star player. Yes.
But he knows, Alex, he knows that even though they won, I mean, they're 11-0, and he knows I cannot let my team get complacent. And it's not enough to win. It's like, because you play good teams, you play in good sit. You know, you're going to lose if you're not ready to play.
Here's why you got to fear the Steelers too. They're 11-0, and people are still disrespecting them. It's a perfect situation for a guy like Mike Tomlin. Nobody respects us. We don't get the respect.
I always fear the Steelers because they have like those like it's almost like Darth Vader.
Yeah,
the black
and yellow uniforms. Yeah, I really love them.
It's very intimidating.
But I was going to say yesterday on Twitter, guess what was trending? Worst 11-0 NFL team. That was trending on Twitter. What are you saying? The worst NFL team at 11-0 ever? It's insane to think that.
Try to win a game in the NFL.
My heavens.
Hey, try to be Taysom Hill and throw a touchdown even.
The Jets are like, can you just loan us like two of those so people get off your back, people get off our back? We still want to keep that number one pick. All right, we'll take the break here. More to go on KSL's Unravel on KSL News Radio. Stay with us. Yes, right around the corner, 2-minute drill, wrapping things up.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.